All right, let's begin today's program with our first speaker, Richard Bernstein. Richard, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Richard Bernstein. Most people call me Dick. I am a professor of philosophy at the New School of Social Research, and it's right that I was a former dean. And I want to talk to you about Hannah Arendt and a little book that I've just been written, which has now been translated into a dozen languages. I think most people who have problems just have heard, know the name Hannah Arendt. And many people associate her with the Eichmann controversy based on her report of the Eichmann trial in the early 60s. And many people associate it with the phrase, the banality of evil. And of course, people have heard that she wrote about totalitarianism without knowing much about her. So let me just say this. That Hannah Arendt, she was born in 1906 and she died in 1975. When she was died, she was locally known by mainly New York intellectuals, but something remarkable has happened between 1975 and today. She is now recognized as one of the most important political thinkers of the 20th century. I can tell you from my own experience, wherever I go in this world, whether it be Korea or Shanghai or Belgrade or Lima, there are people who are passionately interested in her work. So before I begin talking about some of her ideas, let me say something about her life, because I think it's relevant and interesting. She's born in 1906 in Germany, and that's where she grew up. She is born of an assimilated Jewish family, but she tells us that the word Jew was not even mentioned in her family when she was growing up. It's only, you might say, in the 1920s, with the increase of anti-Semitism and the coming of Hitler, that she became much more aware of what's going on politically and historically. Some friends of hers, she was quite bohemian and quite left. She never joined organizations, but some friends of her who were Zionists came and asked her to do some research on anti-Semitic propaganda in the German library. She was apprehended because it was considered horror propaganda. She was interrogated for 8 days, but she had the good luck of being released. The reason I say it's good luck is because we know many people in similar situations that were murdered in the basements of the Gestapo. On the basis of that experience, she made a decision to leave Germany illegally, and she did in the spring of 1933, making her way first to Prague and ultimately to Paris, where many German exiles, particularly German Jews, were resided for a number of years, thinking that France was relatively safe. When the Germans began to decide to march on France, the French government made a decision to put all German exiles into internment camps. And she was sent to an internment camp in the southern France named Gourges. And when the Germans actually marched on France, there was chaos, and she managed to escape. I don't want to tell the whole story, but she really was continued to be lucky because she managed to get a visa to the United States, even though she was a stateless Jew. And in order to come to the United States, to New York, you had to cross France. It was illegal to leave France without papers, cross Spain, and take a boat to Portugal. Fortunately, and she always liked to speak about fortuna, luck, and she had good luck, and she arrived in this country, in New York, in the spring of 1941. Hannah Arendt had never been in an English-speaking country before, but almost immediately, she began writing articles mainly about Jewish issues and Zionist issues. And some of these early articles, like why about we refugees, have now become classics. And in the already after only being in the country for 3 years, she submitted a proposal for a manuscript that ultimately became The Origins of Totalitarianism, Totalitarianism, and was published in 1951. Now, you have to remember that she worked on odd jobs. She was not a university professor, and she wrote this book on her own time. But when the book was published in 51, it became not a bestseller, but it gained her an increasing recognition. And from that time on, she went on to write a number of extremely important books, like The Human Condition, On Revolution, and then, of course, in 1963, she wrote The Eichmann in Jerusalem. Now, I want to mention two major themes that make her such a significant thinker. I should say this. After the Trump election in 2016, she virtually went viral. She was all over the social media. And she was also, and is still, on a lot of social media. One of the reasons is that she had a remarkable insight into tendencies towards fascism, authoritarianism, that are very much still with us. She spoke of the time as dark times. And when she spoke about dark times, she wasn't referring exclusively to totalitarianism. Let me give you a brief description of dark times, because you'll see how relevant it is. She wrote the following. She said, "If the function of the public realm is to throw light on the affairs of men by providing a space of appearance in which they can show in deed and word, for better or for worse, who they are and what they can do, then darkness has come when the light is extinguished by credibility gaps, an invisible government, by speech that does not disclose but sweeps it under the carpet, by exhortations, moral and otherwise, that under the pretext of holding old truths, degrade all truth into meaningless triviality." Well, that's a perfect description of what began to happen dramatically after the Trump election. She understood how propaganda works. She understood why people are not always interested in the true facts. What they want is a story that speaks to their anxieties, even if it is not true. So the idea of alternative facts was not a surprise to her. It's something that she anticipated that could happen and could happen again. At the end of her book on totalitarianism, she wrote that even though that totalitarian regimes have disappeared, meaning Hitler and Stalin, totalitarian methods will be with us. And, when people cannot deal intelligently with human affairs. And we see how much of those techniques are still with us. Not only lies, not only trying to distort facts or to make facts into all opinion, but in the torture. I don't know, some of you may have read recent military judges, sharp critique of the use of torture in this country. So look, the slogan after the Second World War was never again, but since then we've seen torture, we've seen genocides, we've seen all kinds, and we also have seen that our rent understood is the increasing number of millions of refugees. But it's not only for the darkness that I think that she's famous for. There's another side to Arendt. Arendt was a deep believer in what she called new beginnings. She had a technical word that she used for that, which was natality, but she thought that if people come together and act, empowerment can grow, and they can create something new. This is a very deep theme in Arendt. She saw that this coming together, and she sometimes called it the revolutionary spirit, is something that happened over and over again in history. I mean, in other words, she would have understood. She died before something like Solidarity movement in Poland, but she would have understood how people sitting around a kitchen beginning to talk, that it could grow into a movement that became nonviolent and that would ultimately overthrow communism. So she was a great advocate of the revolutionary spirit. The truth is she was also had a strong positive view about the what she could call the American Revolution. For her, the American Revolution was not primarily what we call the American Revolution. What happened in 1776, it would happen after. How people created themselves a new constitution, a new republic, something that had never existed before. She thought this was a fantastic achievement, and she praised it, although she was always double-edged. She was critical, because she thinks that soon after the Constitution was written, there was a kind of forgetfulness and a failure to create the kinds of institutions in which people could participate and be free itself. So that Arendt is, I'll tell just a little anecdote of how this book ought to be read, because I was speaking to my editor shortly after Trump got elected, when her name was all the social media, and he turned to me, and he said, why don't you write a little book about why read Hannah Arendt now? And that is the title of my book. I wrote it for people who are intelligent, who are not professionals, who are interested in Hannah Arendt and want to know something of her main ideas. And I'm enormously pleased to say that of all the things I've ever written, this is really the most popular book, translated now into many, many different languages, because I do think that she is a thinker that speaks to many people. I think I'm going to end my remarks here. I'm happy to answer any questions about Hannah Arendt, about totalitarianism, about the Eichmann book, about her views on Zionism, whatever you want to ask me. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.